Hello and welcome to Tips to Prepare Your 30-Second Radio Ad. My name's Paul Davis. I am the presenter of the Big Little Weekend Breakfast Show on Radio Adelaide, and I'm also responsible for sponsorship sales here. I'm with Dr. Peter Court, who's from Sharp and Creative. Pete writes a lot of radio ads for us. He's also lecturer in creative writing and communications at Tabor. Mm-hmm. I knew that. Mm-hmm. And Steve Davis is with us as well. Steve is the founder and creative director of Talked About Marketing. His first career was in radio. He's an award-winning podcaster and in charge of the Adelaide Show.
Adelaide Show podcast, yes. And a few others.
And a few others, yeah. Oh, yes. Okay. And he's also a fringe performer. Hmm. And comes to us in this because while we're aiming this initially at fringe performers, it's also going to be for anyone else who's considering radio advertising.
What's your fringe show? Tell us what your fringe show was.
I dress up as a professor, right. Sebastian Longsword, who then holds various types of shows. The latest one was a trivia quiz.
Nice.
And people who came to it answered questions and earned their MBA business degree.
Nice.
I have an MBA business degree.
You have one now, yeah.
And one of his claims to fame is he has been a guest on Radio Adelaide
twice.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So you want us to look at things, Paul. I think the first thing we need to look at is get a catchy title. Because what did you call this?
What did we call it?
Exactly.
That was five minutes ago. I don't know.
I have no idea. How to write a catchy radio, how to use radio for your fringe.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
So, Steve, what are your thoughts?
Well, I've just got to get this out of my system because when I started as a gangly, pimple-ridden youth in country radio...
Fortnight ago last Thursday.
All I remember is going in and churning out ads by the dozen. Yeah. And I remember saying, save, save, save. So many times for so many different businesses. It doesn't work these days unless it's done for novelty and no one else is doing it at the time. Like I'm thinking Frank Walker, National Tiles.
Hello.
Thank you. That's
like he's in the room.
Yeah. I'm getting cut through. And I remember looking up in the voice booth at 5MU and there was a cartoon and it said, sincerity sells. Mm. Fake that, you've got it made.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that pervaded right through the early days of radio advertising. It was just churn it out, yell at people, make them submit and buy.
And I think, yeah, you're right. And at that time, the message was, the Marshall McLuhan in the 60s, the medium was the message. Basically, if you were advertising on radio, that said something about you. Nowadays, of course, 21st century, everybody's got their own radio show, podcasts, whatever. You can't do that. And the other thing is we've become much more sophisticated. So people listening, and that's who you're talking to, they know. They know when you're faking it. They know when you don't really want to be there. And you know, for a live radio program, that's important. But for a commercial, that's even more important. Mm. Because the same mistake is going to be repeated how many times you've paid for. So, yeah, you're right. That sincerity now is incredibly important.
Yes, exactly. Mm. And so if we think of Frank Walker... And do it again. Do it
Hello.
Again. Yes.
Sorry.
If we think in marketing of the AIDA model, I know it's sort of developed a bit more since then, but awareness, interest, desire, then action, that awareness thing is what the radio ad needs to lead with. We've got to get the intention. That could be curiosity, set us up with something we don't expect. Hang on a minute. Yeah. Or it could be something that just cuts to the chase of what people are worried about, caring about at the moment. That's really important. We've got to get that awareness. But the other thing in balance with that is overall simplicity. You've got 30 seconds. You'll give us word counts on that in a moment, Paul, but you haven't got much to play with, so you've got to make every second count. And one thing that we find helpful is Blair Warren has written a fantastic piece called 27 Words to Make the World Do Your Bidding. And I'll just quickly read the sentence and then bring out the two things that I think will apply well to
radio.
This is the 27 words. People will do anything for those who encourage their dreams, justify their failures, allay their fears, confirm their suspicions, and help them throw rocks at their enemies. Mm. Now that, by the way, Series 1, Episode 9 of Talking About Marketing, our podcast, we go deeper into that. But the two takeaways for radio advertising, encourage their dreams. We've got, if you know who you're writing this ad for, you've got to nail what they care about, what they want. And the big one, I think, justify their failures. If there's something that's stopping them from losing weight or choosing a good fringe show or whatever it is, explain briefly why it's not their fault. There's confusion, there's too much choice, things like that.
The terrifyingly perfect example of that in play is Donald Trump.
Absolutely.
He does that to a degree. No matter how much you do or don't like the guy, that's exactly what he's doing.
And you'll see that in all sorts of self-help books too. The ones that actually have some degree of chance of making you do things, follow this formula.
So coming up with something that people want, I guess, is the way of doing it. And that's that, you know, finding out who your audience is. And one, the other thing, of course, that comes out with radio is being here on the, and most people, I guess, with the fringe, particularly, you're going to buy a fairly short run, short impact. You're not going to have a 12-month campaign that builds the mode and, introduces people to who you are over years and years and years. So you've got a fairly short run. So you've got to use the one thing that radio does brilliantly that no other medium does, and that is top of mind. It's like a magazine ad will come to you probably, if it's anything like me, when you're in the toilet. But television is over there, and people will be doing other things and tend to move away from the ads. But radio will hit you while you're sitting at the lights in the car. Most radio listening done in the car. So it's right there and right then. And that's, so that's the need that you need to meet. As you're saying, that's what we need to meet with that model, is that I'm sitting in my car right now, for example, on my way home. What am I doing this afternoon, this evening? That's the answer. That's the question that they're asking themselves, even if they don't know it. Yeah. So tonight you want to do this, you know, is I guess the core of the messaging, and using that top of mind.
And directing us. What do we do next? That call to action at the end. Yeah. I've seen some research. I can't recall names of anyone behind these papers, but I've seen enough of them which show that radio advertising, when coupled with something else, is at its most powerful, which typically means you grab our attention, you've got that, you've made us salivate, we want it, now tell us where to go, which could be the Adelaide Fringe site to buy your tickets, or if it's beyond Fringe, just tell us where to go. If you've got wide distribution and it's an iced coffee drink, your nearest deli, but or a website's the most common one, or an app, send them there. Use the radio to get them to where you've got more time to go deeper.
Again, 21st century, most people who are listening to something will be listening with the phone in their hand.
True.
So if you say, get your tickets right now, you can literally go, bing, unless you're driving, in which case, folks, don't do that. But you can literally buy the tickets right now. And the other thing that you pointed there is that to make that decision now whilst you're in the moment. I want to go and see that show. We'll do something about it now. Don't wait, because we know that if they wait, that decision will fade away and they'll instead go and get chicken and chips. Ooh, let's do that. You know, it changes very quickly. So you need to, that call to action, immediately do something about it. Do it right now, boys and girls. You know, that sort of thing really does have a huge impact. Yeah.
I love the Pavlov's dog effect too.
Yeah.
That pouring of a drink makes you want one if that's something you're close to. And I suppose the other thing there is, if it is fringe and you've got some audio and it works, a snippet, a taste and try before you buy of something from the actual show can be the thing that just makes us go, oh, yes, I get it.
And that will be the thing that sets you up as you are. That's your product, isn't it? So, you know, it's like all car ads pretty much are identical, showing a picture of a car driving through the hills. So that people want to see the product.
Yes.
And they use that because it works. Mm. By the same token, I'm a comedian, come and see my show, is not going to work.
No.
Here's me being funny. And people go, oh, that sort of comedian. I know, but one case study, my dear darling wife used to sit in bed in the morning and watch Sarah Millican on Instagram, comedian. And she's very funny. And it's all about, oh, you know, she'll be sitting there giggling about tampons or something. And I'll be sitting, what the? So Sarah Millican was in town for the Fringe. So I thought, oh, January, booked some tickets. It was sold out already.
Yes.
Because people knew who she was. They knew her product. So with that in mind, just coming back to what you were saying before, Steve, about keeping it simple and keeping your message tied in, if you have that online presence, and pretty much all comedians and comic acts specifically are, theatre performance acts are starting to get that handle, you have crystallized moments of your work already edited.
Yes.
Use them in your ad if you can. The other thing is you have posters up. Every artist has posters up. Make sure that the wording and the feel and the image on the poster is identical to what's in the radio ad. Because if I'm sitting at my car and I hear you talk about the big, what was your show?
Oh, Professor Longsword.
Professor Longsword. Yeah. I know, I've seen that written somewhere. You know, yeah. And it connects all those things. And so suddenly it's more than just this radio ad. It's all the other things I've seen and all the Instagram videos of Professor Longsword that I've seen. I've got to stop Googling that.
No, you don't have to stop Googling that. So at the time we're recording this, a colleague of mine who does comedy in Melbourne has become the center focus of some controversy. Mm. And if I were him, and it was Radio Adelaide was the local station, whipping up a short ad to go, heard about that show being, you know, focus in on that and then direct us, because we'd be aware of the controversy.
Yeah.
But what was that show again? And now we can seize that moment.
Or even better, to get into that, you're talking about you're apologising, you're connecting with the people. Yeah. Have an apology ad. Have a sorry ad saying, I'm sorry I said da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm sorry we said da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yes.
I did mean it, but I'm sorry. Come and see the show. You know, that sort of real, embrace that. Yes. Yeah, you're right.
So we've come up with a million different things to ponder. Paul, how many words do we have to play with when we
I'm glad I get the important stuff to do. That's really nice of you guys. Thank you. Look, you've got about 85 words in a 30-second ad. You have to remember that dot is a word and AU is two words.
Yeah.
If you're putting in a web address for your call to action. But, yeah, and you've also got to not write the way you read, you've got to write the way you speak.
Yeah.
And a lot of people bring us stuff that's written the way you read.
Yeah.
And it is very different. If you're going to come in and voice it, we're going to probably need more than one take for most people, right? I am going to do stuff about you speaking stood up. I am going to do stuff about you smiling. I am going to make you wave your arms around like a crazed Italian.
Because so many stand-up comedians are bad at that.
Yeah, well, people think they're going to come in here and just sit down and do the same thing.
Yeah.
So,
actually, interesting, just on that, just apropos, I remember I was working for Oz Stereo and producing the breakfast show there, and they got in two or three, they wanted to use, Glenn Nicholas was one, I've done a lot of work with Glenn, lovely guy. They got him in and they were trialing him to do the breakfast show on SAFM at the time. And they had a couple of other guys too who were really high-level national comedians, and they couldn't do a breakfast radio show because, being really experienced and skilled stand-up comedians, they'd drop a line
and wait for the laugh
and give the audience time to move in. And with radio, of course, you can't do that. And so you're right, there are different differences between, you know, doing the radio performance and doing your live comedy performance that you've sort of got to get a handle on.
He directs my shows, actually.
Oh, does he?
Nicholas. That explains so much.
It does. Yeah. So, how are you, Glenn? Oh, I'm good. Was there something else? No. Sorry. I'm just waiting. Yeah. But you don't realize it until you hear it back. That you go, oh my God, why did that sound terrible? Why did, you know, why are you not laughing at my radio ad? Because.
Well, you know, if we produce an ad with you, we won't let you make a bad ad.
Yeah.
Not unless you really insist on it, in which case it's your money.
And if it's the fine. Image, if it's the image though, hello, sometimes it's good to have a bad ad, you know?
Well, yes, controlled badness, which is a great name for a band.
Deliberate badness. Yeah, controlled badness.
So the other question on behalf of the potential people doing an ad, how long does it take from coming up with the idea to getting the ad going on the radio?
It's a piece of string question, but I would say you're probably looking at in 2 or 3 days.
Okay.
You know?
Really?
I reckon the script is the hardest part.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it, you know, if Pete's writing a script with us, then we take Pete a creative brief, essentially a load of dot points.
Mm.
Pete brings me a brilliant script. I take it to the client. The client says, yeah, but.
Yeah.
And after the but, then we start a conversation. And it's how long that conversation takes is really the bottleneck to getting it on air.
I reckon for your average fringe performer, though, they've gone through the process of doing all of that. Like I said, come up with their posters, they've written their bits in the booklets, mm-hmm. they've got all of that stuff there. Yeah. It should be relatively quick. And I think the other thing about radio that can be, and particularly with Radio Adelaide, because it's a local, small, high-impact organisation, is one of the things I was thinking you could actually, if you've got a show, and a lot of the shows run for like 2 weeks or they're over 3 or 4 weekends throughout the Fringe, you can actually have mid-run content. So you can get content from your first show and insert it into an ad for your next lot. But you can come in after the first show and say, and have written the top and tail, the intro and the outro, and throw the bit in the middle, the actuality. So you've already got it ready there.
Sounds good. So, okay. You
know, those are all options.
We've sped past our 15-minute
excellent
deadline. Anybody else got anything that they really feel they need to say?
Mm-mm.
No? Yes. Yeah.
Book your ad with Radio Adelaide and save.
And go and see Professor Longsword next time he's on at the Fringe. Thanks very much, guys.